variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here. During an eventful week, to say the least, and an eventful presidency and everything else that goes along. In fact, we got so caught up talking about the capital issues and everything else that we didn't mention until the very end of our last show, the Georgia elections. That, you know, that actually there was they were as significant as you could possibly be, and two Democrats won those runoffs, and that had a lot of change. But the very next day, that all didn't seem to matter because of what happened at the Capitol. But again, Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, you're listening to the Melissa Itell Duran Show, Renaissance Woman, Melissa Itell Duran. Melissa, how are you?
I am doing fine, Frank, just fine. I can't say the same about the president.
Right. Oh, man. I'm sure he's flipping out. I'm sure he's infuriated and everything else. You know what's at stake here for the impeachment is the possibility that he can't run in 4 years. And, you know, if this happens, right, if the whole, you know, I don't know what it is. I guess maybe if the Senate votes and the Republicans would have to break away by 17 votes at least, I think, if I have that right. But he would not be able to run in 4 years, and he would lose his Secret Service. He'd lose his $1 million a year travel bonus or whatever it is. And what is it? $200,000 a year pension. And if you think about it, there's pretty nice perks. I didn't realize the president's had it so good, and I guess they should. It's the toughest job in the world. But what do you take on that? What's at stake for President Trump at this point?
Well, you know, he still believes that the election was stolen from him, that he actually won, and then of course, so do quite a bit of his supporters. In fact, if you go online or if you listen to any of the talk shows where his supporters call in, there are many of them who firmly believe that the election was stolen from him, and that somehow or other this is all going to come out in due time, and that the truth will be revealed, and the Democrats and Biden will have they will be revealed to be the devils they are, according to some of his supporters. Now, whether that comes to pass or not is another question. But yes, it does talk about the possibility, whether it is possible for him to actually consider running, because we know the intention of the Democrats. I mean, making this last minute impeachment bid is to have that final nail in the coffin and put to rest any dreams he may be having of running in 4 years, and perhaps also to just close the door, bury the whole family, meaning Don Jr., Ivanka, bury them as well.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot there we could weed through, but just amazing. Again, Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to MelissaIteldjorn.com. Melissa, you know, if you think about this, if you think about everything that's going on, the one thing I'll say is it's virtually an impossibility for there to be fraud in the electoral process, at this particular situation. There's a Democrat and Republican in charge of every board of elections in the country, and in all of those 50 states, all of the counties and the cities, they all have an equal amount, and the ballot everywhere is, and I've said this before, but the ballot everywhere is in It's not just Trump versus Biden. It's Trump versus Biden and then the U.S. Senate and then the Congress. So if they were going to throw out ballots, let's say, just, you know, because I knew somebody who had a theory that they threw out 1 million ballots in Pennsylvania. It's like, come on. What are you talking about? 1 million? How would they do that? Who would agree to that? Because you would also be throwing out, if you're throwing out Trump ballots, you assume that the people are voting for Republicans primarily. They'd all have to agree to shut up to get rid of Trump, and that means every dog catcher running and every council person running would have to be along with it. It's just not happening. Lindsey Graham, on the floor of the Senate, brought up some interesting points. He said, look, I'm out. He said, I prayed. He said, I hoped, I wished that Joe Biden would lose. I wanted Donald Trump to win. I wanted the president to win. He didn't win. He said, then they said, okay, well, there's fraud. And he said, all right, well, show it to me. They said, oh, we got 10,000 examples. He said, show me 10 of them. Show me anything. Show me. So they didn't have 10. He said, show me five. They didn't have five. He said, just show me one. Just show me one example of fraud. And he really, he nailed it down. I think Lindsey Graham, and again, I'm trying not to be biased here, but what I'm saying is I've been dealing with Board of Elections for the last 25 years. You cannot have that kind of massive fraud. And look, Georgia, they proved it. Those Georgia public officials or those Republicans, they would rather have their friend Donald Trump, Republican President Trump, in the White House than Joe Biden. They have no stake in Joe Biden there. Why would they cheat? Why would they somehow lie? Anyway, your thoughts on all of that. Do you think that there's, after all that we've seen, and I don't know if you heard Lindsey Graham's comments, but if you can, comment on what Lindsey Graham said.
Well, I think a lot of them, we have to remember that there were about 10, were there 10 Republicans who joined in the vote?
Yes, 10 exactly, I think.
Yes, including most prominently Mary Cheney.
Lynn Cheney, right? Lynn Cheney.
Lynn is the mother. Lynn Cheney, Mary Cheney, the daughter of the former vice president.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. But she
Republican.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. She voted for impeachment.
Right. As did some other Democrats. Now there's the question: why did they, jump into the mix? I think it's because they. They're representative of the establishment, and they are looking to, as everyone is, looking toward their future. They want to be disassociated from Trump, and it's possible that all along they were never Trumpers, and they are entrenched members of the establishment or the swamp, and they are just cementing their futures. They don't want to have any. They want to wipe their hands clean of any. Possible or suspicion of association with him. So and that's what they're doing. And they want to just bury the hatchet with Trump. They feel that perhaps to save the future of the party, they have to do that. You've got to put the vampire to rest, and then you can go on. Because let's face it, the party is damaged. They may have a new. Vice chair, I don't know if that's his title, but Rick Scott, the senator from Florida and former governor of Florida, is emailing people wildly about let's save the Senate. It's a little too late for that. Maybe he means in the next election cycle. I don't know. But it's just, Lindsey Graham was also a very staunch, supporter of the president, if you recall that. I mean, he ran
no doubt
against. Yes, he ran in the mix back in 2016, 2015 against Trump, and like everyone else, including Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, he made his dislike of Trump known quite early on, and now all these images are coming back to haunt these people. They were saying, "Oh, Trump, he's a liar. He's a he's not a P.T. Barnum. He's a con artist who thinks he can, fool the whole world." I mean, all these things that they said during those primaries are coming back to haunt each of them. And I think, Lindsey Graham also sees, his future is at stake. He doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be put into the cauldron where Ted Cruz and Senator Hawley are right now. They're both in, you know, they're both in hot water with Washington, because they're the ones who continued to speak against the election, the certification of Joe Biden. And they're blamed in part for the incitement of the mob, for turning a, let's say, to put it mildly, a deaf ear to what was going on. And they still maintained that a horrendous crime had occurred, and they were going to put their two cents in and try to change everything and challenge the popular notion that Joe Biden had won fair and square. And I think that's what Lindsey Graham is doing. You know, remember when he was, I think many of us saw the footage of him. I'm not sure if it was in his, it's probably in the airport where he had arrived from Washington in his home airport. And he was met with hecklers screaming at him, "You traitor, how could you do this?" And he had security around him. And he's trying to, you know, he's looking at his iPhone. I think he's just trying to, you know, ignore them, but it wasn't very successful, and he was trying to answer them, and they were calling him a traitor. "You're a traitor."
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's,
yeah,
what they're some of them are going to be greeted with when they get, you know, they go back to their home states. But Ted Cruz, now they're calling for Ted Cruz and Senator Hawley's disbarment.
Who's doing that?
There was a petition of...
Are they Republicans, Trump lovers, you mean?
Well, who were heckling...
Cruz, yeah, I mean, is Cruz...
Oh, Cruz? They weren't heckling Cruz, but I think it's Harvard Law, Yale Law School. I think Cruz went to Harvard Law, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. He's an Ivy Leaguer.
Yes, right. He went to Princeton undergrad and then Harvard, yes, because he was Alan Dershowitz's star pupil.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Odd couple.
Alan, it's interesting. You know, all roads lead to Alan Dershowitz. He was the star pupil of Alan Dershowitz, who fondly remembers him. He said he was a little weird, but he was the best student he had ever had. And Alan Dershowitz, by the way, is on call to defend the president if and when there should be an impeachment trial. And he's gone on CNN, and I'm not sure about CNN, but definitely Fox and other venues to say that it's totally unconstitutional for what's going on right now. But in Ted Cruz's case, there is a motion to get him disbarred, and this was a petition that was signed by many Harvard and Yale law professors and law students, alumni, I suppose, as well.
Wow. Just wow. Frank McKay here. Much more important, you're listening to the Melissa Itell Jern Show. You could binge listen to everything that we're doing here on over 100 different outlets. Please check out any of those outlets, and whatever you're listening to now, you can check out some of the other outlets and listen to our past shows and binge listen, please, to everything that we've been doing. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell Jern. Melissa, what's your take on what could be happening in the next few days? As we speak, we're here on the 15th of January. I'm planning on, or I was planning on, going to the inauguration or, you know, something in some form or another. I went to President Trump's inauguration, and I just kind of go for the, you know, the interest aspect. And, now, there's part of me, well, my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter wants to go, and I'm discouraging that because I'm not sure that there's not going to be violence. I think there could be violence down there. I hope not, and we hope anybody that's listening to this that might be angry about what's happening with President Trump, we hope that they're reasonable if they go down there and they don't, you know, wreck the place and, you know, cause any harm to anyone else. What's your take? Are we going to see violence?
That's a good question. I was supposed to go 4 years ago too. You're going to help me arrange that. I couldn't make it, and I thought maybe there was a possibility this year. Yeah, that's what we're hearing. The FBI says they are monitoring situations not only in the Capitol, but potential trouble spots in Capitol cities all over the country, starting January 17th. Today is the 15th, so and the inaugural festivities kick off. It's a 3-day event, culminating in the inauguration on the 20th. So yes, there is always the possibility that we're going to see insurgencies. particularly among disgruntled Trump supporters who feel that they're, you know, they're the rioters, mob, whatever you want to call them, whoever you want to call them, were wrong and didn't finish their job, and this inauguration cannot go ahead as planned. It's like a wedding that, you know, everybody's objecting to. No, that can't. We're gonna stop that wedding. You know, when they say,
I object.
Anyone here feels that this, yeah, who feels that this couple should not be married? Say, you know, say something now or forever hold your peace. That's what they're gonna do. But they're not going to be polite about it. So there's always that potential of violence.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, it's you mm-hmm. don't know what the heck's going to happen here. And they arrested probably about 100 people. I'm not sure what the latest count is, but I would bet it's somewhere around there. And if that's the case, does that scare people from doing this again? I mean, I'm shocked that anybody would be shocked that they got themselves in trouble. Are we looking at a situation that has maybe diffused itself because of what's happening to others? I mean, you know, once you're locked up, I mean, it's an expense. You know, you lose your job, you lose money, you got to hire a lawyer, and I don't care who you are. I mean,
although Jane Fonda was carted off a couple of times last year when she was protesting in Washington against the climate policies of the Trump administration, and she was carted off to jail several times. And she, of course, made a big deal about that. She posted it on her website or whatever.
Yeah.
And she actually looked forward to doing this every Friday last year.
Yeah. Well, listen, the difference there is Jane Fonda has millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
I mean, she was married to Ted Turner. I wonder, is she still married to Ted Turner?
No. I don't think these people like her stay married to anyone for too long.
No. Or vice versa, right? I mean, it's like Jane seems like a difficult person to be married to, but
you know these actors don't stay married. There are some who have long-term marriages, but the majority of them need change, frequent change.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, that's the difference there. The people that I'm hearing about that got arrested were working at masonry places and cement places and things like that. It's a little different. I mean, a lawyer costs a couple bucks. I mean, this isn't $1,000 retainer. I mean, this is thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and maybe more than that. So that's what I mean. When people start thinking about it, will the arrest of their predecessors make this a calmer situation? And again, before you answer, let me remind people to go to melissaiteljourn.com. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Melissa Iteljourn. Your take, I mean, are people, and again, we're not rich people that support Trump, maybe they're going to not care about that. But does the money aspect, does the fact that they have to do this, does this slow down the violence that could possibly be coming?
I don't know if it's going to slow it down, because look at how many of them are now being arrested from last Wednesday's, I'm going to say festivities, no, last Wednesday's rioting, shenanigans, whatever you want to call that. I mean, it was an invasion invasion of the Capitol snatchers, I don't know. And, that's bad. I mean, your life, your reputation is in peril. I mean, you could call reputation, you know, defender, but I don't think that's going to take away an arrest record.
No, it's not, and it's there. I think there's going to be an effect on those people. Now, there's fanatics out there that are going to say, you know what, these guys are throwing tea in Boston Harbor. I'm going to throw tea in the Boston Harbor, and we're all looking at a scenario where we have to stand up for what we believe in, and we're going to do this, and we're going to, you know, you're going to get those people, but you're going to also get some people to say, hey, I got a wife and kid at home, and I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I just think they're of the same mindset. And there are a lot of them out there who feel that the president has been wronged, and someday this is all going to come out in the open. And there are some who are clinging to the belief that Joe Biden is in the last minute, Joe Biden is going to be revealed as the criminal he really is, and the elections had been stolen from underneath the president's feet, and that therefore this is all justified, that it's time for a revolution, if you may, that to turn over the control of Washington from the swamp, as the swamp has now come back. They've extracted their revenge, and they're doing it unlawfully. And I mean you can question the motives of the impeachment. Why in such a hurry? Number one. And now, even though there are, you know, the House is predominantly Democratic, and now we've got a shift in the balance in the Senate, there are Republicans who are not going to go along with this, and they're not going to get a trial until at much later. And if Alan Dershowitz has his say, it's going to be thrown out. It's not going to go. It's not going to. They're not going to get their wish to stop Trump. This is all part of their effort to put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. I mean, that's, they are looking to do that, and they are livid, and actually a lot of people are livid. It's not just the Dems, but the Dems have been wanting this the whole time.
Right.
Before he took office, they wanted to get him, and they are going after him. And again, Frank McKay here with an extended version of our, I kind of like our newest extended mm-hmm. format. I don't know if you like that, but the new extended format of,
I think it's terrific.
Yeah. Of Melissa Itell-Joran. MelissaItellJoran.com is a great place to start. Watch the documentaries there. The two wonderful documentaries on her, because she's wonderful, and it's all her micro and macro issues. And she's just as good as anyone out there. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell-Joran. We're going into a situation where we're also almost ignoring the vaccine situation. And I forget what the number of what percentage of vaccines have been put out. I think something like 11 million have been administered. And, you know, keep in mind, that's two shots per with many people. So I don't know how many people, what population, well, what percentage of the population actually got the vaccine. But I know we've done a terrible job here in New York. And I don't care.
It's horrendous.
Yeah. I mean, everyone.
Bottom.
Yeah. Everyone, you know, named Governor Cuomo Prince COVID, you know, how wonderful he was with all of this. And, they've done a horrible job. New York State. And I don't know whose fault it is. I mean, you know, the buck stops here right at the top. But they've done a horrible job administering this vaccine. It's terrible. I mean, people need to get this vaccine. What's going on? What can you assess the problem is here? By the way, President-elect Biden said that he expects to have 100 million vaccines out in his first 100 days. And I kind of figured that they're gonna roll out the vaccine wagon once he gets here, and that's only a couple days away, to make him look great in this particular thing. So if I don't know, again, we don't know what's going to happen, but what's your take, and do you think the vaccines have been handled properly, and whose fault does this lay? Well, whose feet does the fault lay on as far as the poor performance from the vaccine distribution?
Well, since this is all state-run, the blame has to go to the governors. In New York, New York, you have to expect something's going to go wrong. It's the biggest bureaucracy there is. Albany is the seat of all evil. And your cities and other municipalities suffer as a result, and sometimes they're no better. I blame the governor, our pompous governor, who thinks he's in his delusional mind, thinks he is second only to God for messing this up.
Second only to God? I don't know if he thinks he's second to God.
Excuse me. He's right up there with ahead of God.
They're on equal footing. He and God are on equal footing.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Poor God. He's got to share the stage with this character. But
the Emmy Award-winning governor.
Oh, yes. and who has the time to have a book tour? I don't know if it's a book tour. I mean, if it's a virtual book tour, he had the time to write a book. Where he got the time to do that in the midst of all this, I don't know. But, hey, crazier things have happened. But and he's getting, yes, he's getting his Emmy, of course, his Emmy. What's next, the Grammy for Best Spoken Performance?
Hey, let me just say one thing. You brought up his book. When he wrote his, I don't know if it was his first book, put out his first book.
Oh, yeah?
What was that called? I don't remember. I think, God
it's
Almighty.
It's not memorable. There's nothing to remember.
Well, let me say this. He got a $100,000 advance, right?
Oh.
I don't know if it was an advance or a bonus. And he sold 1,000 books in total. 1,000 books in total. For a guy like Cuomo, I mean, you know, you need to sell 5,000 to be on the bestsellers. So it wasn't a bestseller. And he was just absolutely thrown. It was like throwing $100,000 out if you were a publisher. It was a disaster. Now I imagine he'll sell more because he's, you know, Mr. COVID and everything else. And, you know, he's got a lot of attention. He's more recognized with everything going. But that was his original, from what I remember, I think it was 1,000 copies that he sold of that first book. Would you buy his book?
No. Surprise.
He's not buying our books either, right? He's not doing that. But yeah, you're right. I'm not buying his book. I don't know who would buy.
Let's buy my book. Let him buy my book.
That's right. let's put it into perspective. Who is, who are buying the books of Andrew Cuomo? I mean, maybe people that think that he might run for president one day or that he's going to be there in 4 years.
You're never going to get an autographed copy, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Well, look, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but it's that kind of feel out there. I mean, we are all over the place as a nation. Politically, we're at each other's throats. And, you know, that means Democrats, Republicans, independents, conservatives, liberals, everybody's at each other's throats. And we don't know what we're going to be looking at, a week from now. I was going to say a year from now or a month from now. We don't know what we're going to be talking about a week from now. Keep in mind, 2 weeks ago, we figured we'd be talking all about the Georgia runoffs and everything that happened there. Mm-hmm. Something trumped that, no pun intended. Something trumped that a day later. And we didn't even, it was an afterthought. The elections were an afterthought. 3 days after, when we were speaking on a Friday, what do we have to look forward to? We don't know. I hope we talk about a peaceful transition of power and everything else. But I don't know what we're looking at. I'll go back to the violence. Are we going to see violence? And again, for those just joining us, Melissa Itell-Joren is our host each and every week. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to melissaiteljoren.com. But again, back to the violence. What's our worst case scenario? I mean, are we going to have what we saw on Wednesday? Is there any chance it'll be worse? I mean, there's 16,000 to 20,000 National Guards that are in place. Will that be better? Will that make it better? Will that make it worse? I've got to believe that has to help.
Oh, it's got to be something. I think they don't want people to come in for that reason. And also, remember, the inauguration was supposed to be a virtual one anyway, predominantly virtual, because COVID is still going on. They're not having the parade. So they don't want people, to camp out anywhere at the reviewing stands that, where the public used to be for that reason alone. And they're having these troops. I think this is the second time in history that troops have camped out in the Capitol since, what was it, the Civil War?
Yeah. 1860 and 1864, mm-hmm. The elections after. So that would have been 1861 and 1865 that the inaugurations would have taken place, unless they did them earlier back then. But, that would be the last time that I would think that anything like that would have occurred. And yeah, I mean, this is every single thing that you could talk about with the Trump presidency, and there's blame to go around on both sides. But this time around, it's going to be very difficult for the president to shake any blame whatsoever, because Republicans are struck. Kevin McCarthy, the leader, Republican leader in the House, he was furious with President Trump, furious with him, and he clearly blamed, I shouldn't say clearly, but it was clear that he was upset with the president after the last time, and I believe he thinks that that he helped incite that riot.
Yeah, it's possible, and there is, there is the feeling that now is the time to break with Trump in order to save the Republican Party and keep it viable for a possible challenge, for another House election, midterm election, and down the road for the next presidential election. And I think, Mitch McConnell, who has been going along with whatever Trump wanted, is now singing a slightly different tune as well, saying that he would consider, an impeachment trial. He wasn't, wholeheartedly 100% behind all this. And he too is changing his sentiments.
Well, there's a reason why, and this makes a lot of sense if you're a Republican. And again, we're trying to be, down the middle when we talk, and we're trying, but we're commentators. We could say whatever we want. But here's something, and I'm going to try to be down the middle on this. Mm-hmm. If you're Mitch McConnell, and if you're Kevin McCarthy, and you're all of these different folks that are Republicans, good, strong Republicans, have supported the president over the last 4 years, there's a reason why you may want the impeachment to go forward. And here's what it is. As long as Donald Trump is the face of the franchise for the Republican Party, they are an afterthought. All of those others are an afterthought. And I'm not saying it's ego. I'm saying that they are going to have to deal with Trump, especially if he's going to be the candidate in 4 years. If you impeach him.
Right.
If you impeach him and he can't run in 4 years, then he's out there. Twitter has suspended him, and they'll probably continue to suspend him. YouTube has suspended him, some Trump videos, and Instagram did something. This one did.
And not only that, they've gone as far as to put it, the clampdown on Parler.
Yep.
And on any organ that is associated with conservative or far right conversation, and which is another issue for another show.
Right. That's
losing our free speech.
That's disturbing. That's actually disturbing what they're doing with all of that. But it's real. It's happening. And again, I always say I can't deal with what ought to be. I can only comment on what is. And they are doing that. Again, it's a subject for another time. Is this a healthy trend in our democracy? And you'd have to argue. You could make an argument. No, then it's scary that we're doing this kind of thing. But at this time and after the violence, I get why they're doing it before the inauguration. We don't want to deal with more violence that's coming. And again, Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to MelissaEiteljuren.com and watch the documentaries on Melissa. Melissa, comment on that. Are you more okay with all of the suspension of the free speech in order to get through the inauguration, or it shouldn't matter at all?
I just don't like the way that the big tech companies are exercising their authority to shut everything down. I mean, what about? I mean, I understand. I don't like what happened. No one in his right mind liked what happened at the
Capitol. Of course.
It was just, you got the dregs of society came up, and I think they took his word. I think they took the president's words and misconstrued them and took them out of context. And the president didn't say, let's fight, stop this deal, et cetera. Let's go get them. And these people, I mean, these are not the elite of society. Look, these are probably people who are, or we would call blue collar. They're underemployed, undereducated, and they feel that the president has speaks for them. No one else has, which is true. The president reached out to, to the downtrodden, to the people who've been ignored by the elites, the Nancy Pelosi's and the Hillary's, who call them deplorables, and a handbasket or whatever Hillary said, and And there are many of them. But there were a lot of Trump supporters, on the other hand, who fit that demographic. But they're hardworking, respectable citizens who don't turn to violence and let their minds and imaginations run wild. I mean, I think that the impeachment, if there's any basis for the impeachment, it's probably because the president tried to shake down the Secretary of State of Georgia. Yeah, can you get me 11,000 votes? Can you? I just need 11,000. It sounds like a mob thing, you know. I could see this in a mob movie.
Yeah.
You know, I need the 11,000 votes. You think you can do that? You think you can do it? You know you have it.
Yeah.
You don't have it. I'm in 24 hours.
It's a Sopranos episode.
Sorry, a Sopranos.
Yeah.
Right. With Tony, maybe Tony Soprano, you know, calling him down, says, you got 11,000 votes. Come on. I know you. I know you pretty well. Yes, you do. You don't. You're going to have to answer to the big gun. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what it sounded like. I mean, you know, that's not exactly presidential.
No.
But would I do that? Well, privately, maybe. But no. If I'm an official, you know, official role, I don't go into the, you know, I'm not going to shake down some state official, even if I think he's a, you know, he's being a stuffed shirt. That, I think, could be an impeachable offense.
No doubt. That's not what they're impeaching him on, though. It's the incitement of the riot.
Right, exactly. I don't think he said anything that, I don't think you can 100% say that he said that he was sending out subliminal messages, go get him, destroy the, you know, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now, it's another thing to say that it's possible that the organizers of this group premeditated this violence, because look, they knew what to do, where to go. They all had their equipment ready. They were dressed for it. This could have been a premeditated adventure for them. Mission.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I mean, there are people who had an agenda there, and they were waiting for this. Mm-hmm. The argument in the impeachment situation is whether or not the president incited them. And I think they kept it to that alone, not to convolute the issue. And again, they need, and look, if it was just two votes, Ben Sasse and who's the other one? Ben Sasse and Murkowski.
Ben Sasse hates his guts.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. Yeah, he also hates his guts.
Yeah, that's three right there. Susan Collins might be four.
Right.
I mean, is
Lisa
there
Murkowski?
Yeah. Is there 17? That's the question. Is there 17? If they, and now if McConnell is going to entertain this, keep in mind his wife was, I don't know what it was, transportation minister or something, you know, and she resigned and criticized the president as on her way out the door. If we think about it, Mitch McConnell, if he need only say, guys, vote your conscience, and they don't push anybody, and they go to Republicans that have safe districts or that just were elected this last term and this last cycle. You know, if you go to them and say, look, let's get rid of this guy once and for all. We don't want him here in 4 years. Let's get the Republican Party back to where it is. If they do that, you know, and again, maybe it's people that don't run ever again. But if they have 17 votes and they think they could get away with it, I think they'll do it. I think they'll do it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's too many. I think 17 votes is too much. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think so too. The Biden inauguration is going to go on. You know, whether you know people are still condemning what happened or not, feeling that they've been they've gotten the short shrift, and the president is. You know, can then continue to say that the election was stolen from him and that he actually won in a landslide, but there were 11,000 missing votes, and the guy in Georgia wouldn't help him, and the governor of Georgia wouldn't help him either. And it's just going to go on and on and on. We're not going to see the end of Trump. Yeah, they may try to prosecute him in other venues, but we're not going to see the end of him. He's not going to just go quietly in the night.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's for sure. I don't think he's going to, but I don't think he's going to get his Twitter back. Twitter had 80 million people. At a push of a button, just a simple send message or whatever, a tweet.
Yes, but I think though, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that the Twitter stock has gone down since then.
Wow.
If that means anything.
Well, yeah, I think it does. I think it means, mm-hmm. I think they're, when you have a president using your platform every day, I mean, it was every single day for 4 years. You know, you can't get more exposure than that. Keep in mind that it wasn't 82 million people getting the tweets. It was, but how many retweets, how many people saw it off of retweets and everything else? I mean, hundreds of millions of people were reading those. The media.
Powerful.
Yeah, a very, very powerful situation. I don't know that he's going to get that back. And I don't know how he gets to 82 million people without Twitter again. It's not going to be as easy as that. Maybe they'll build up Parler.
Yes. Or maybe Parler will come back somehow. I know there's a lawsuit pending on behalf of Parler. But I don't know. But he's going to find a way to keep himself above the fray and in the consciousness of the American public.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a minute or two left. MelissaIteldurin.com is where everyone should go to watch the documentaries and binge listen to everything that we've been doing here on radio.com or iHeartRadio.com or RadioUK.com. Certainly SoundCloud, you can listen to everything that we've done, and we hope you do that. Frank McKay here on the Melissa Iteldurin Show. Melissa, last thoughts on the week that was impeachment, that was your prediction for the Senate and impeachment. And I think you kind of touched on it, and I said it too. I think they fall short of the 17 Republican votes that they'll be needing. They need two-thirds of the Senate to vote. I don't think they're going to get there.
I don't know either, but this is their indignation. This is how they express their indignation and their they're the final draw for them. This is the final nail in the coffin for them. I don't think it's not. If it's going to be delayed more until next year or until the following months, I don't think they're going to get that far. And you know what? They're putting the Biden's agenda at risk and his cabinet nominations at risk too. Because the longer you push all that off, the more things are, the worse things are going to get in this country.
Yeah, I agree. Frank McKay here telling everyone out there to be safe, especially if they're going to be in Washington. And if you're listening to this and you're going to be protesting in Washington, please stick with the law. Melissa, thank you very much. And to everyone out there, I'm sure you join with me in thanking them each and every week for listening. They have a lot of choices, and they're just wonderful. And one day, Melissa, we will get together with all these folks and we'll have an event when all the craziness comes down, and we'll do a Melissa Iteldurin night somewhere and have an opportunity to meet some folks. Are you there, Melissa? Oh, I think I lost you. Anyway, we lost Melissa, but we're at the end of our show anyway. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see all of you next time on the Melissa Iteldurin Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Iteldurin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.